All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by The Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome in to Oilers Nation Radio. No bag milk today, so I had to run across the room after hitting the
one
intro.
And a half steps. Maybe.
It was smooth,
especially for you.
Okay, but is it or is
the
it
pivot,
not?
The pivot was the important part.
Is it not technically still across the room?
Are we talking about room size again,
it's
Tyler?
Like one third, but the middle one third.
I heard you're a room size guy.
Oh, well, everyone on the Oilers Nation Everyday stream is bullying me because bullying. Of the size of my bedroom.
Yep.
I posted a thing because I got a mattress from
too big or too small.
They're like, it's too small. They're like, Tyler lives in the Harry Potter closet. And it's not that small. First off, my house was built in 1963. So
if you have your own bedroom in the room,
fine.
Do you have your own bedroom to yourself?
Well, my girlfriend and I live together.
Oh, you guys share a room?
Yeah.
Wow. Modern.
And a king size bed?
No, queen.
Do you push your beds together or?
So you don't like that?
Do you sleep
No, you gotta have a king size bed.
See,
especially for you.
Room's not big enough.
You don't need extra space in there. Just a king size bed and get out and put your dresser somewhere else. You need a king size bed.
Why?
Because you're longer than I am and I pretty much hang off mine.
You are a long boy.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just assumed you had his and her bedrooms.
I curl up when I sleep.
Yeah, that's fine. But sometimes you need to stretch out.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, anyways, Douglas Mattress is not a sponsor of this show, sponsor of Owen Every Day. You know who is a sponsor of this show? It's Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. Head to dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com now to play. I'm out day one this week.
Me too.
Wasn't meant to be.
I had Kevin Fiala.
There were 10 options for day one. Only two of the 10 hit.
It's not good.
So
that's incredible.
So many people are out. Not a lot of people playing anymore. Just 200 left this week, and they're playing for the Bacon Portobello Mushroom Melt, which is back for a limited time. If you're a loser in the game like me, you can always be a winner at lunchtime by ordering at Wendy's or by downloading the Wendy's app to find out how you can get in on some delicious Wendy's rewards. Speaking of delicious, it is the Delicious Debate brought to you by Wendy's. And it's only been one game since we had our last episode of the pod. So we'll get to our who delivered for that game against the Habs in a bit. But the Delicious Debate today is centered around the rumors that the Oilers could be interested in Corey Perry. If you somehow missed the story earlier this year, he signed a one-year, $4 million deal with the Chicago Blackhawks, but due to some, call it off-ice conduct issues, the Hawks terminated his contract, and now he is a free agent and is free to sign wherever he wants in the NHL. The 38-year-old had 4 goals and 5 assists in 16 games before the Hawks let him go. And the Delicious Debate today: should the Oilers sign Corey Perry. Rick?
Yes. It's a very simple. As long as he can keep his life on track off the ice, he's going to be nothing besides positive for us on the ice. I like what he does in the dressing room. I like what he does in the ice. I really don't see too many. And then obviously it has to be worth it for us, like dollar-wise. As long as it's cheap enough, yeah, there's absolutely no reason why not. He automatically bumps ahead of like three guys at least on the roster.
The right side of the Oilers depth chart right now is Hyman, Fogle, Derek Ryan, and Connor Brown.
So is he right wing or center?
He's right wing.
Dan?
I think positionally and player wise, it makes sense for the Edmonton Oilers. I just have questions surrounding the dismissal of his from the Blackhawks organization. Obviously we'll never know the real answer as to what happened there. But you know, this Oilers team has things clicking again. You know, where we had maybe some magic juju at the start of the season that wasn't there. You just kind of, you're looking at maybe mixing up the chemistry a little bit more than you need to with this team, in my opinion. Again, I don't know necessarily what happened behind the scenes there, and I don't think we ever will. I hope that the Oilers would ask the question and have a better understanding as to what went behind the scenes there. But yeah, I have a question mark, I guess, from a standpoint of chemistry-wise on this team. Do we need to make that move?
Yeah, for me, like the fact that, you know, he met with the commissioner and Bettman basically, I mean,
he was never forced out of the league at
exactly.
all.
Exactly. Like there, he went and did that. He took that extra step, right? He took some time away and kind of reset himself, so to speak. It's a guy who's been to three of the last four Stanley Cup finals with Dallas, Montreal, and then once with Tampa Bay as well. Liam, would you be interested in Corey Perry?
Yeah, I think he's an upgrade over like four or five players, and you bought him six. So for the money he's probably going to ask for, it's well worth it for a guy you don't even have to spend assets on aside from cap.
That's kind of where I come out, is like the Oilers probably need to add three to four pieces ahead of the deadline. So if one of them can be a freebie where you basically don't have to give up any of your little cap space because you can just send down Ernie and plop in Corey Perry.
What are we? So are we just assuming we get him at league minimum and then at obviously half the year, so 750, so about 375?
Well, I'm pretty sure he got his bonus from Chicago.
He got a $2 million bonus from Chicago at the start of the year. So he's already
signed for less than league minimum.
Well, like the thinking is he would sign for league minimum.
Good.
I think it's a no-brainer. He's a guy who's done well in the playoffs in the past as well. Last year, he had 5 points in six games with the Lightning. Year before that, six goals during that playoff run to the Cup final in 23 games. So I think he would slide perfectly into this Oilers top nine. I think it'd give him a nice little boost. I kind of understand what people say, like, hey, maybe you don't want the distraction. And Elliot Friedman did come out today and kind of say, maybe Perry doesn't want to be a distraction in a large market. Yeah. And Friedman kind of said, you know, Toronto is loud. There's a lot of noise there. Does Perry want that? Edmonton is a louder market. Does he want that?
And what kind of noise are we referring to?
Just in terms of the fan base, eyes on you, whatnot. Like Friedman.
Talking about your past or your present?
Past.
All right.
Friedman basically kind of made it sound like, hey, does he want one of these or does he want to go to an LA or a Florida where he can just sort of slide under the radar a little bit? Which is interesting.
Well, and I mean, you know, assuming that he's going to take the league minimum, he's just then picking his team. And yeah, I mean, and then you wonder if we are the spot for him for that sensibility. You know, he strikes me as a guy that would love to join a team like an LA where maybe they don't necessarily have all the pieces right now, but he could come in and be one of those additional.
See, and I think he wouldn't be scared about going to a big market because Chicago is a very big market. I know they may not, or we may not hear a lot of Blackhawk fan chatter, but a market that big, I assume they've got a pretty good following that it may not like make it over here, but I assume they have their fans are very in touch with their team. So it's not like it's going to be that much different playing there than it is here.
This morning on the Kevin Karius show with our friends at Sports 1440, Frank Saravalli said the Oilers' objective this year is a third line center and a second line right wing and a 1B goalie. But he then went on to add, even though Perry isn't one of those three things, Corey Perry is a target. And he did say on Ched earlier in the week that the Oilers have been doing their due diligence on Perry for a couple of weeks. So in Frank added interest, or he believes the interest is mutual.
Ooh.
I like that. You a little excited?
It does. He's the type of player that you want in your lineup, man. Like we always love it when Evander has those games where he plays like that. Like, this is Corey Perry's go-to game style. Like, Evander is a shooter. He's a scorer who can also do that other stuff. But at this point in his career, Corey Perry, he's very, very fucking good at that stuff.
We have
and
to really-
I think adding that to our roster right now would be awesome.
I think too, you look when he was at the Blackhawks for his brief stint there, like whenever Bedard was touched, Perry was right there on the doorstep to help him out, right? So like the others have more stars on the team, and I think you need those guys to protect isn't the right word, but just kind of like a little reassurance that backup is on the way.
But even besides that, that's more of a reactionary thing. I like the proactive thing where he's out there pissing guys off first.
Yeah, I like both of them. I like both angles. Like,
definitely take care of your own guys after something happens, but I love when he goes out there and gets under the skin of other teams and other players ahead of time, and he's out there initiating that. I think we have a problem initiating a lot of different things on the ice, whether it comes to a lot of things, actually, that if we can get somebody out there who's a shit disturber who pushes like that, I think it'd be great for our team.
Maybe fill in a little of what we missed when Klim Kostin went to Detroit. Right?
Yeah.
But then some. Like, yeah. I think, like, and I mean, I take nothing away from Klim at all, but I think Corey Perry is better at doing that greasy shit. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the best in the league at doing that greasy shit, and he can score and he can play. Like, I've liked him ever since he was a 13 forward on the world junior team to start
back in 06 or 04.
Yeah. He was a 13 forward. By the time they're like two games in, he's up on the first line.
I just think we need to release a "What Do We Tell Corey" shirt. Relive the exercise the demons of 2000. It was on that
2017 Ducks team.
Yeah.
What? He was called DOT winner.
He was the one the referees had their little side conversation of the holding the pad and said, "What will we tell Corey?" Remember that the hot mic caught that? No. Oh man. That's still
the play. I remember all that shit. I don't remember.
He's still grained into my brain for that one.
I don't even remember that at all.
Yeah, the referees were more concerned with what they would have to tell Corey Perry than to get the call right, I guess.
And Dale got fired?
And Daryl got fired.
Did they get fired?
Oh, no. I think they went on to do the Stanley Cup Finals that year, didn't they?
Should have. Earned, not given.
There is your delicious debate brought to you by Wendy's and the Portobello Mushroom Melt, which is back for a limited time. Would you sign Corey Perry? Have your say. Let us know at ON Radio Podcast. I also want to let you know that if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, I'm just saying, you might be winning some delicious, little delicious gift card or gift certificate, really? I should say, for Oodle Noodle. You might get a free box of noodles if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. So get to it. Come on.
Maybe I'll leave a review.
You're not eligible. No one in this room right now is eligible.
Love the podcast. Big fan of all of you guys.
Better when bag
need more of the Englishmen.
Good Oodle Noodle supporters.
There you go. The Oilers have played one game since we last did a podcast, but it was a win over the Montreal Canadiens. 2-1 the final as they extended their win streak. Before we get to who delivered, let me just throw this out there. What did you guys make of Habs fans booing Connor McDavid?
I love it.
I think it's hilarious.
I thought it was perfect. I think he needs that kind of stuff. He wants to be that guy for every other fan base.
If I'm not mistaken, he's gotten it from them before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. It was like, I think he was playing a role in that game, where he was under the skin of the fans a little bit and, you know, getting some calls here, and then, you know, he took some liberties there and got called against it as well. But yeah, I love when he fires up the other fan bases.
I think it's good. I think we can't be hypocritical in the sense of we always say hockey fans are dull and don't bring anything to the game. So I'm a big fan of the Habs fans doing something.
From their perspective, hey, make it tough on the guy. Try to get his head. The thing is, I think it usually fuels McDavid. But
like, they suck. They've not been good this season, right? They've not been good for a few years. So for them to try and make their home ice an advantage, like, absolutely. Boo everyone. Boo them all. But I thought it was very fitting that they booed the whole game and it was Boosh that scored the winner.
Liam, you may think they suck. Oh, actually, yeah, they have 9 regulation wins on the year. That's stinky. That's really bad. Habs 18-8-7, 500 points percentage on the year. Oilers beat them for the franchise record 10th straight game. The record has been set, something that even the teams that had Wayne and Mess couldn't do. And although some people love to bring up the whole, there were ties back then. But have the Oilers won in a shootout over this winning streak?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I won.
Won.
A couple of games
ago. Who was it?
They overtime, but shootout?
No, it was LA. They beat LA in a shootout.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So win number three on this, or win number, that would have been win number five, sorry, on the winning streak would have been a shootout victory. So let's get into who delivered for that game against the Montreal Canadiens. It's brought to you by DoorDash for a limited time. Our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Dan, I'll let you go first. Who delivered?
It's annoying. We won the game, but I'm going to give it to another goalie that we didn't expect to have happen. It's going to be the opposition goaltending again. Sam Montembeau delivered another stellar performance. The Oilers were able to overcome it, but it's kind of getting to be a trend with this team, that the goalies are getting up for us, and I love to see it when the Oilers are able to overcome it. So I'll give the head nod to Sam Montembeau for delivering his performance there.
Liam.
I'll give it the other way, and I will give it to Stuart Skinner, who has arguably been the best goalie in the league for the past like month, maybe a little bit longer. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Been unreal. If it's not for Stu, like the last three games have all been one goal games.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Pickett had a game in there too, but there's been so much criticism of like Skinner this season. And we had, who do we have the other week who's a goalie? Hutton?
Oh yeah, Hutton on our show. Oh, no,
and he said, I'm sure it was him. I said, I was like, what does stealing a game mean in the NHL? He's like allowing that one goal. So Skinner's been stealing a lot of games.
Yeah, he has been. 3-2 against the Wings. It was 2-1 against Montreal. It was 2-1 against the Hawks earlier in the week as well. I know Pickard got one of those starts. 17
goals in the 10 games?
Yeah, 1.7 average goals against, which is pretty crazy.
It's not bad.
Rick, who delivered for you?
Well, you know what? He's had a slightly below his own average type of season right now, putting up points and whatnot. And when you watch him on the ice, he kind of leaves you wanting a little bit more only because of what he's done for you before. But I think with a goal and assist, Leon really carried the team there. Kept us in the game, got us the lead when we need, or got us tied up when we needed it. And then, those three guys on, when it comes to overtime, I feel terrible for the other team, sort of.
I saw a thing the other day. I actually think it was this morning, the more I think about it. And he's lost like 21 games. Drysdale has 22 points, something like that. And people were complaining about it.
Well, it's,
and
it's,
I just, I, like, I get it. Like, he's a star, but also his bad streak is still a point per game.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy. I don't know. I just think like he's been playing fine. And also, I'm sure over that 20 game streak or whatever, like he wasn't playing with McLeod and Fogel. He was mixing line mates all the time. But I bet if you corrected those statistics to benefit it a little bit more in his last 10, I bet he has like way more than that or whatever. I bet it agrees with him more. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Leon Draisaitl, 5 shots on goal in that hockey game. The player who led the team, though, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, had 8 shots in the victory over the Montreal Canadiens. My who delivered, I'm just going to... Nice and simple. It was Evan Bouchard, man, in overtime. I love that the Oilers have a guy on the blue line who will just sit there. And again, you're on a 4-on-3 power play. I think a lot of Oilers teams in the past, even with Connor and Leon, would have wanted to try pass the puck into the net, right? Zip it around, make 3-4 cross ice passes and try to wait till a guy's wide open back door. I love that Evan Bouchard just goes, you know what? I shoot the puck really hard and I'm just going to hammer this thing. And it worked. Like for that puck to hit the post, hit Montembeau's ass and still have enough juice to go in. Like it was an absolute rocket. And I just love the mindset of like, yeah, okay, we passed it around enough here. I'm just going to hammer this thing. Cause when I shoot it hard, it's hard for the goalie to stop.
You think he has a green light on that line?
Totally. I don't think they question him at all.
No. Yeah, I agree. So I think that like there's 3 green lights and then like Nuge gets to make a decision and Hyman's usually in front of the net. So his only decision is should I smack this puck in the net or not? And then, yeah, it's really interesting to see the dynamic of the thought process of those 5 guys or 4 guys on overtime.
Yeah. And I mean the shots, I've kind of been on Draisaitl a little bit saying I wish he'd shoot the puck more. Connor McDavid. There are times where when he's deciding between when to shoot and when not to shoot, I'm a little like, what's going on here? But again, how can you question McDavid? But it would be interesting if McDavid and Draisaitl can get a little bit better at getting shots through on the power play, if things would maybe open up a bit more, if teams have to suddenly respect McDavid taking a wrist shot from the top.
The other team has to guess though too, right? That player in front of him has to guess one way or the other. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to flip a coin and 4 or 5 times it's going to go against you.
Yeah, that's also very fair. Just building off the back of that on who delivered, and we'll turn this into a little bit of a game recap here. But if you go just off regulation and don't count overtime, they score once in 60 minutes against the Habs. They score twice in 60 minutes against the Wings. Twice in 60 minutes against the Hawks. Only three times against the Sens. Is anyone a little bit concerned about the Oilers' offense?
Nope.
Why not?
Why? Because they've... For the longest time, we've said this team needs to take, has to learn how to win 2-1, 3-1 games, right? The 2-1, 3-2, those are the type of games they had to learn how to play. They're playing them. They're doing exactly what we have to do. Two of those times, you've got shots of over, of north of 40 shots, right?
Yeah.
Very, and I know this season's kind of weird that the win-loss record with over 40 shots, but it's not going to be very often that this team gets 40 shots. These types of players get 40 shots and you only score a goal or two. If it was... If you're getting beat on the other end, maybe you'd worry about it a little bit more. But right now, maybe it's just a down cycle. Like, you know, this team is too good. These guys are too good. Evander Kane's going to get going here and pop 7 goals in 4 games or something like that. It's going to happen. So like Liam said, if Leon's having a meh type of time and he's still putting up 21 points in 20 games, the Oilers are putting up a meh time and still winning as well. Like, it's, this is all positives.
I will say it's a little bit concerning, but I'm not. Oh, as worried as I was at the start of the season, because like Rick said, they're winning these games at the end of the day, so it's not that terrible, but this is now the second or third time they've gone through a patch where they can't finish. And...
But they're still getting the shots on net. So
that's good. They just have a lot of guys who are streaky, and unfortunately, a lot of those guys get streaky all at the same time. Like, holy smokes! Like, come on! Like, can we just have McLeod that's streaky and Fogel's buzzing, or like, something like that? So I'm confident they'll all find their groove again, and I think maybe in a weird way too, it's tough to get up for some of these games. I don't know.
And if you look at our third line, man, it's still not great. Like, who's on the third line today? Derek Ryan still?
It's McLeod, Ryan, and Janmark.
Yeah, like...
That's why they need Perry.
That's what I was going to say. You take a guy like Corey Perry, you add him there, you start to get a little more consistent offense at the third line, which opens up the second line. And the first line is fucking terrifying. They are the best line in the league.
Go ahead, Dan. I was just going to say, I think the defensively, this team has been improving in spades. So yes, maybe you've seen a slight decrease offensively as a result of that as well. And so for me, I'm not so concerned, because I do see the effort from this team to limit the real like grade A scoring chances now. Yes, there's games where they're still getting shot 30 shots against, but they aren't the high danger scoring chances like they were at the start of the season. I mean, the start of the season, we were giving up 5 and 6 breakaways in a game and or 5 or 2-on-1s or 3-on-1s. Like, it's just, it was a mess back in our own end. So I think that there's a little bit of recalculation from the defensive perspective too. Jeez.
Interesting that you brought up the 30 shot mark, Dan, in their last 3 games. And you're right, there was that run against Anaheim, Philly, and Ottawa where they gave up at least 30 shots on all of them. But against Chicago, Detroit, and Montreal, they've been under 30 shots against, 26, 17, 24 in all of them. So like, and they were north of 40 in 2 of those as well. Like, the Chicago game was a weird little blip, but I think I kind of agree with Rick. Like, if you're going to put up 87 shots over a 2-game stretch, and yet you only score 5 goals in those games, like, you should be scoring more like 7 or 8 goals.
You're regressing to the mean where you're getting... Yeah. 35 shots and scoring 6 goals right away.
And I guess to give credit to Lyon and Montembeau and Mrazek before that too, all 3 of the goalies they played on this road trip actually played pretty well against the others. So sometimes that's going to happen, but I would like them to not be so streaky. Like, if they could get a depth goal, is every game too much to ask?
No,
like just some random guy.
I think 1 bottom 6 goal a game is like a decent bar to set.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. Am I wrong?
I think that's what every team strives for. I just think that
it's
like
hard
Rick
to
said,
execute all the time,
and,
sure.
And I think that when we look at the roster, just, you know, on paper, you say that third line is not effective enough to be able to expect that of it.
It's better for this team to be solid defensively than get that quality scoring out of their bottom.
Agree
6.
With that for sure.
Completely agree.
But I think for a team to be consistent and to be able to overcome these ebbs and flows, you do need that from your bottom 6. six.
Here are the forwards who have played in at least 9 of the 10 games on the road trip that haven't scored. Hamblin, no goals in 10 games. Ryan Janmark, no goals in 10 games. Connor Brown, no goals, but in 9 games. So if he would have played in that 10th, I bet you he would have gotten one. But I do think this is illustrated a little bit. Like, I mean, they've had 11 different goal scorers over the last 10 games, but considering you've won them all and you've scored 37 goals in that stretch, it does show this team needs upgrades at the bottom. Signing Perry would be great, but that can't be the end. I think Frank mentioned maybe a second line right winger being the need. If you have Perry, maybe you're a little bit happier with the right side of your depth chart and you're looking for
someone. If you bring in Perry right now, it's not even a really an addition. Like, it's addition by subtraction. You got to drop a guy off your roster. So it's not like you're just swapping out a dude here.
Perry
And Ernie's going to go down to Bakersfield and you're going to take a step. You're going to take Ernie's spot and take it and increase it by, you know, 3/4 of a step by adding a guy like Corey Perry.
Yep.
Then you go find an extra top 9 forward. And maybe if you can upgrade on someone like Cody Ceci, that would be.
I don't think they'll actually touch the blue line. I really don't.
It depends. If you have an Ekholm situation again.
Yeah. And I mean,
they're not going to go out there and make a quick rash decision when it comes to defense.
I just think last year when they clearly needed Ekholm desperately last year to boost things up, right?
Yeah.
This year, I don't think that need is as essential. Why, you know, like we just said, you look at the forward group, it's like they kind of need a couple of pieces there. I can just see them spending their assets and bringing in like 2 middle six guys, 1 a third line center, 1 that can play on either second or third line on the wing, and then you go from there. And then the blue line, they add like the example I used the other day on the live show was when Vegas brought in Ben Hutton, who's just like your 7th, 8th guy.
Could you see them moving on from Kulak to try and upgrade something like a CC and then bring in Broberg and put it in there?
I could see them moving on from Kulak
mid-season.
But I don't think that money would then be spent to upgrade on CC.
You'd still go up to the forwards at first?
I don't think you can take out 2 defensemen. You would bring in Broberg.
No, you'd be upgrading CC. You'd be moving out, like, say, Broberg and moving out Kulak, replacing Broberg, which is going to be a question mark. Broberg's still relatively uncertain, you know. But if you have an obvious upgrade on your number one line, your number one defense pairing, someone to, that's like obviously a step up on someone like Cody CC.
So what do you do with CC?
Well, somehow you,
because then about maybe having moving both of them.
Yeah, at that point you can. Yeah,
I think that's a lot of surgery to do to a blue line in season.
It's only
2 of your 6, 30,
1.5 spots, right? Because you got a brand new player and then an almost new player. If the brand new player is fine, like treading water for a bit while he figures it out, and then becomes like, you've got that second pairing that's so strong.
I just don't.
That could probably take number one minutes while you try and get the Darnell and question mark pairing gelled.
I don't hate your idea, but I just think it's difficult to move that much from a blue line that's so familiar with each other. Like, you're taking away 2 penalty killers to bring in Broberg and question mark, and Broberg isn't going to play on the PK as effectively as
you'd have to learn real quick.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. You're putting a lot of responsibility on the other guys who already have a ton besides Vinny, right? Like, I can't see them moving both those guys, but I could definitely see them moving one. Yep. And I think Kulak is somewhat becoming the guy they move.
He's the easiest to quote unquote replace.
Like, people give CC a lot of crap, and I get it. He's not perfect by any means, and he's definitely not a top pairing defenseman. But also, you pay him $3 million.
Yeah.
And you're getting so much more out of them than you really thought you were going to. And with Kulak, I like Kulak a lot, but you're paying him only like $500,000 less than CC.
And he's playing third pairing.
And you're playing on the third pairing. And you have Broberg in the minors, who we had Bruce Kulak on the live show yesterday, and he was saying how well he's been doing. And he said, he's like, Broberg's better than Kulak. So you give him the runway of, okay, we moved on from Kulak at the deadline. Now Broberg has X amount of time to get going here until the playoffs.
You make that move faster then, so you give Broberg more runway?
Maybe. No, I would not. I think Broberg just keeps, only thing is, it should be a timeline on it, because I think Broberg's playing so much in Bakersfield that it's still benefiting himself anyway. So build up his confidence. He has 10 points down there now in like 20 something games. So he's doing really well. And right now, K Cam Denis is out for Bakersfield, so Broberg has been slotted in on the power play a little bit more too. So I would keep him down there. But again, if you move Kulak while you upgrade the forward group, you still need to bring in another defenseman because you lose depth. Otherwise, it's Nima Leinen's the next guy up.
So this is the scenario I threw out the other day. Rick, tell me, and Dan, you guys can chime in if you think this makes them better or worse. You take Brett Kulak, you trade him to a contender who wants a D-man, get a third round pick back. And then you take that third round pick and you go acquire Nick Seeler. And then you take your second round pick and you go get Sean Monahan. The money is the same. You've swapped now Kulak basically for Broberg / Seeler, and you've given up a second round pick, but now you can afford Monahan and he's your new 3C. Are you better?
Can you still afford Corey Perry?
Yeah. Because he's just swapping out for Ernie.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, obviously you're taking a guy like Sean, taking a guy like Sean Monahan, who's definitely a top nine player. You're putting in your top nine.
Yeah.
You're putting him exactly where he should be probably. Mm-hmm. So he has an opportunity to win his battles, right? You're not putting him in an area where he's fighting above his fight weight. You're putting him right where he needs to be, and you're going to add, and he's right now, he would have Perry and Kane as his wingers. I think that's a quality third line.
So then what you could do then, right? You could have Draisaitl stay with McLeod and Fogle. In this scenario, your third line would be Monahan, Kane, and Perry, and your fourth line would be potentially like Hamblin, Ernie, and someone else.
Yeah, you have Janmark and Gagne to go too.
Yeah. So you can mix in Janmark. Interesting. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it a lot. And Liam, we were also talking about like this summer, you're going to have a really tough decision to make with Vinny Desharnais, right? Like if the team actually kind of likes Phil Kemp and they think this guy can maybe give us third pairing minutes or be our 6-7 D next year. What's better, Vinny at 2 mil or Kemp at 775K? As much as I love Vinny, it's like,
Kemp kill penalties?
Yeah, he's
kind of like another Vinny, not as tall.
I think he has a bit more offense to him, if I'm not mistaken. Vinny.
Yeah, Vinny
didn't have really.
Although he had that look to lead the game against Montreal, I thought he was going to bury that thing
at home.
Yeah, but I love Vinny, and I would love to see him be an Oiler for a long, long time. But I also look at that and go, dude, you're a seventh round pick and you might have a market this summer. Like Vinny might get 2 million plus. A team like Chicago might be like, you know what? 2.75, we want you bad.
I'll say there's going to be no bag chasing. That's all I can say.
All right. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, hey, maybe if he wants to win and he, you know, loves that he came up in the Oilers organization and all that, that's a possibility as well. So.
This is going to be way out there, but is there a day in like a year or two where your right side is Vinny, Kemp, and Bouchard?
It'll be Vinny, Wanner, and Bouchard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what the future would. If things go as
they kind of seem. Could you open up next year with Bouchard 1, Vin 2, Kemp 3?
No.
Sorry, what did you say?
Down the right side. Yeah. Down the right side. Bouch has 1, Vin has 2, Kemp has 3?
No, that's not good enough.
No.
I think Vinny's got to be a third pairing guy. And that's why I don't think, again, let's say Vinny cuts him a deal or what the middle ground is like 1.75 for Vinny. I don't think you can have Vinny and Kulak making both that much money.
You'd go to the other side. You go Nurse, you'd go Ekholm, and you'd go Broberg.
Yeah, I would do that.
And then your right side, the way I said it.
Oh, Vinny. So you're playing Vinny and Nurse on a pairing?
No, it'd be Ekholm and Vinny.
And I want Bouch and Nurse.
Or yeah,
whatever you do. Yeah, whatever you do. But those are your 60 men.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that's good enough. But it's
for a regular season.
But it's cheaper.
And it's just a regular season one, right? Like it's just this team. Like our roster right now is was regular season championship worthy. One of the best of the regular season rosters. Yeah. Like obviously you build up as you go. But going in, I mean, can you not start the year like that and see what you got? Yeah, if you like Kemp that much.
But I don't know enough about him. Kemp to like kind of put that on him. I don't know. I just feel like the others don't need to experiment to that extent. You know what I mean?
Well, what's CC have left on his deal? One more year after this one?
Yeah.
So you're going to be almost in that spot anyways. Cause you're good. Like just say, if we do make up the Kulak move this year, now you're only one step away from being in that spot. And you're talking about a player in a contract year, you might be able, whatever the hell.
I wonder who, like, if you were to find a way to get out of both CeCe and Kulak this offseason
and replace them with
Well, I know
almost league minimum contracts.
Yeah, like it gives you more money to spend up front. I'm also just sitting here. I'm quickly pulling up the free agent list for this upcoming season, and I'm kind of going, if you can get rid of that 5 million you had on those two, is there someone you can maybe swing for a little bit? Like the UFAs this offseason are Montour, TJ Brody, Dylan DeMello, John Klingberg, Matt Dumba, Shane Goss to spare. Chris Tanev would be a popular name as
well.
What's
Tanev going to cost you?
Tanev will be expensive. He might get, he's 34 though. He might only get a 2 or 3 year deal somewhere.
And how much?
$5 million. Mm-hmm.
There's not really many names that scream out at you there, are they? Like, I like DeMello. Well, who are the righties? Or were they all righties that you said?
The righties, Montour, DeMello, Klingberg, Dumba, Tanev, Myers, Hawkenpaw, Stetcher, Barry.
Hawkenpaw is not bad, right?
Yeah, but isn't he just Vinny?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So we're a long ways away from a lot of these decisions, obviously. A lot of hockey left to be played, but I think there is a chance that at this time next year, the blue line looks drastically different than it is right now.
Two names different. Two out. Two in.
Maybe three. Maybe Broberg's done. He did kind of, there was talk, rumors, rumblings, and he's not happy here, so.
I think he's not happy because he's not getting ice time. You get him ice time on this roster, I think that turns your spirits around real quick.
I don't even think it was ice time in Edmonton. I think it's just the fact that, well, I guess it kind of is, but like, he just wasn't playing.
5 minutes of
he wasn't doing anything. Like, yeah. I think he seems happier now while we haven't heard anything.
Playing 20, like, let me play like, real minutes, not
exactly.
Like,
what is he gonna? There's only so many times you can practice. And get 100%. Better, right? Like,
especially at his age.
Yeah, and there's definitely an advantage to it and something you can benefit from it. But like, at the end of the day, if you're skating around passing pucks every single day, like, come on, you're not gonna get better.
All right, let's quickly do. There's one other thing I wanted to do, and it's for our friends at Booster Juice. We're gonna do some league notes, some talking points from around the NHL from January 19th to 21st. We are gonna be out at the Jasper Pond Hockey Tournament with a special shout out to our friends at Tourism Jasper and Booster Juice. It's going to be an absolute blast. We got Team Oilers Nation, Team Flames Nation, mm-hmm. Team Daily Faceoff. I was looking at the jerseys out in the hallway.
Who's on that team?
Frank. It's like Team Daily Faceoff / Team Leafs Nation.
Oh, gotcha.
They're kind of joined. So Rose Hill's on that team as well. Either way, it's all powered, Liam, by Booster Juice. Download the new Booster Rewards app today to start earning berry points for delicious and nutritious smoothies, drinks, and food that will get you through the day, whether you're at work, maybe you just did a workout, or you're playing in a weekend-long outdoor hockey tournament. Booster Juice can help fuel you. What did you guys make of Elvis Merzlikins the other day? I don't know if you guys saw these comments, but he is very not happy in Columbus at all. Seems like he's going to shake loose. Seems like he's putting some pressure on the organization as well. Any interest there? I know we've talked about it a little bit in the past. 3 more years, $5.4 million. Dan?
I think we talked about it on this pod remotely last week, didn't we? And I said, with the Jack Campbell straight up from Merzlikins. And I was shocked that you guys were not as bullish as I was on that.
I just don't think that's it.
I just don't think
that's realistic. I made that deal at all.
I made the deal. It's already done.
By making a deal like that, also ties your hands in terms of other types of contracts.
That's the thing too.
You're going to put Merzlikins on the team all of a sudden.
Campbell, you don't have the bird cap space of Campbell anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think there's so many layers. Is Merzlikins better than Campbell? Yes, obviously. I just don't think it's worth it considering the other holes here, isn't it? But like, I'm very confused by this story. So he beat Vancouver, right?
Yep.
It was made to seem like the Vancouver Canucks had never lost a game in their history. And finally, this Elvis guy had taken him down. Well, like, your goalie played well. I didn't understand the hype around it.
Well,
like,
it was
the comments were interesting, of course. But.
And like Merzlikins was celebrating like crazy on the ice. And then
so strange.
Yeah, it was weird.
But a celebration on the ice after you've been healthy scratch for as long as he has and all that is kind of a fuck you to the guys upstairs in the suits. Yeah, like that's what that is.
For sure.
Like, hey, look, listen to what I can do. You guys are benching me.
But
hey, the rest of the league, look what I just did.
I guess it's harder for us as Oilers fans because we watched a guy play himself out of the league, whereas Merzlikins seems to be apt at playing the goal attending position, yet yeah. Columbus still doesn't want him there, even after signing him to the exact same deal. Almost, what is it, 250,000 more than Campbell at the same time that we signed the Campbell deal. So, yeah, I mean, it would be weird if Jack Campbell was playing okay and we were like, no, Jack, you suck. You're going to the AHL. And he's like, no, but I'm actually okay. It would be a different dynamic for us. So I think that's a little bit.
Is there other goaltender doing that much better than he does?
Well, I don't even think it's that there are other goaltender. It's the backup. Like the guy from the AHL is now ahead of him in the depth chart. Tarasov
is their kid that they like.
Yeah, and he's ahead of them in the depth chart.
Ahead of him because the management decided to play him ahead, or ahead of him because he got some tastes and he's like lighting up the league? Because I don't think that's really the case over there.
Well, and again, we always go back to the fact, while Liam brings up those numbers, as to Merzlikin's numbers not being that bad on a bad Columbus team.
Tarasov has an 875 in 8 games.
And this is the kid that they want to play ahead of Elvis?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it feels like he's probably just feeling like he's taking the crazy pills. Like, why am I not starting? Right. Yeah.
I understand where he's coming from.
Yep. So it's, I don't know.
Now I get it. It was just, I don't know. A lot of, is an interesting one.
Well, but you're right, Liam, because it started out as Merzlikin's like, I don't want a trade. I'm not asking for a trade. I just am not happy in this situation. Now he's straight up wants a trade and wants out. So it's a mess.
Players want to play.
When has Columbus been a very tidy and clean organization?
I can't believe that guy still has a job.
Yarmo?
Yeah.
If he was in
since probably the Jesse draft,
26 of the markets.
He's fired at the end of the season.
He should be fired today.
I just don't think they want to pay another GM.
Is Davidson still the hockey ops guy there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should be in trouble too.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. Like, how do you oversee this organization, which has had many, many options and many, many opportunities to flourish with different things? And just
haven't they allowed a player to pretty much die on their roster too, who 5-6 years ago was thought of as like perhaps the next great goal scorer? Like, what the hell is Patrick Laine done?
Oh, Laine. Oh.
What has Patrick Laine done? Didn't know which one of the players has died as their career has just gone to Columbus and floundered.
Well, I mean, Goudreau definitely is.
Remember when Jeff Cotta went there and was brutal?
Who? Terrible.
Jeff Cotta.
The Goudreau thing was wild because they went and got him, and then they had no centerman at that point to be able to play with.
They tried to play Laine as a center at the beginning of the season.
So it's, that whole organization is just. Lining absolute $8.5 million.
What has he done?
Nothing.
And ask for a trade out of Winnipeg.
Yeah, that's terrible. When you look at it, that whole little thing of like Laine, Dubois, whatever. The Jets now, as the team who's had both Laine and Dubois, one of the teams that's had them both, they're sitting the best out of that whole trio if you include Winnipeg. Like the fact Winnipeg now has neither Dubois or Laine and is like, oh no, we're the happiest out of all the dealings. Like, that's wild. A couple other league notes. Kyle Connor going to return tonight against the Islanders. And Jason Dickinson signed a 2-year deal with the Chicago Blackhawks. So a potential deadline target. People were connecting him to the Oilers a little bit. He gets a 2-year deal with a $4.25 million cap hit.
I like it. I like that Chicago is trying to build a bit of a culture there now and like this new group. Dickinson, to his credit, is a great season and deserves that contract, right? Like,
well, I mean, he doesn't deserve $4.25 million, but he deserves a
bonus. I saw a tweet out there that said, hey, Chicago Blackhawks, just because you play them in the top six, you don't even mean you got to pay them like they're top six.
They got to hit the floor, though.
I think this is Jack the right Campbell? Move. The right move for them. They got to keep players there. They can't just rotate players every single year. They got to have some familiar faces. And now I believe they have Bedard, obviously, Kurashev, Foligno, Anthony Seau, Hall, Connor Murphy, Jones, and what's this fella's name?
Dickinson.
Jason Dickinson. There you go.
All right. Those are your league notes brought to you by Booster Juice. Grab a delicious smoothie and refuel with Booster Juice and start earning with Berry Points on the Booster Rewards app today. We are going to step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, Kennedy's quote game.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts?
Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kennedy's Quote Game is brought to you by Greta, your go-to pre- and post-game spot, or why not your spot to watch the game? Their TV setup is legit and endless intermission entertainment with their arcade games as well. The food is good. The drink is good. The times are always good at Greta. Kennedy, you got your Quote Game fired up, ready to go?
It's a new year, so let's jump into it.
Oh, boy.
Alrighty. So also house rules now. I actually made rules to this. I win if none of you get your own correct.
Okay.
And every single month there's going to be an overall winner.
Okay.
I know January we've missed out on a few, but each weekly winner will be based on how many games are played that month. And then we'll do an on aggregate and then we'll get bragging rights and
winning percentage.
I like it.
Just like the AHL.
Okay. I like it. All right. Let's go. What do we win though? Do we get prizes?
Yes.
Got to be prizes. Let's go.
I gotta do it. Okay. Number one, that might not have nothing to do with me cramping up, but I'll take one anyways.
Say it again.
Yeah. That might not have nothing to do with me cramping up, but I'll take one anyways.
Okay. Thank you.
Number two, I am on a B.
I'm on a B.
Yeah.
I'm on a B.
Number three, Swedes stick together.
All right.
Number four, the coach is putting on the captain's hat.
The coach is putting on the captain's hat.
I like how you guys do it. I like that.
That was an echo.
The coach is putting on the captain's hat.
I like when you guys repeat the quote back to Kennedy.
That's like you're kind of thinking of who said it.
I'm going to change my mind on that one, actually.
Seeing it.
Okay.
Okay, number five. We said paraphrase it.
Okay.
And number six, short Derek Ryan.
Damn it. Ooh. That changes everything.
Short Derek Ryan.
You know what? I'm going to try a little.
Who could we be talking about?
Can you read number three, please?
Swedes stick together.
Can you read number five, please?
Did you even listen to the first one?
Can you use it as a sentence?
We said paraphrase it. It was number five.
God damn it.
What was the origin of the quote? Right. Number four.
Yeah, it was number four again.
Like,
what was the language that it was spoken in?
Can you say it in a sentence?
I'm not super confident in this.
Oh, me neither.
We'll see what I can do.
Do you guys play for serious?
Oh, yeah.
I'm playing for keeps.
Everything for serious.
Let's go.
All right. Number one.
Number one. That might not have nothing to do with me cramping up, but I'll take one anyways. Dan.
I said me.
Liam.
Said Rick.
Said Rick.
I don't think it was me. I have Liam.
Ready? Here we go.
And his left.
Plenty left.
I might have one after. Yeah.
Actually massive.
He might be cramping up here.
No. Are you cramping up?
I don't think I'm cramping.
You want to rub down?
Well, that might have nothing to do with me cramping up. I'll just take one. Oh, I'm so fucked now.
It was a tie.
Yeah, this is not good.
Ty said it.
Damn.
Bag Chuck. Already. Number two. I am on a B.
I said Dan.
I said Rick.
I said Tyler.
I have Dan.
A B plus. One more move would have pushed me to an A, but I'm going to stay in the B's.
I am on a B.
Oh. Damn, this is a tough one.
This is not good.
This is not a good start. Is anyone 2 for 2?
Nope.
I'm 0 for 2 if you're afraid of that.
We're all 0 for 2.
Yes.
Oh, kind of crazy. Kennedy puts rules in like she can win and all of a sudden no one gets
no one. Like, this is great for me.
All right. What do you
Okay. Number three is Swedes stick together.
BM.
I said Tyler.
I said Liam.
I have me.
Okay.
Not even close.
We've got almost everybody covered there.
There we go.
Stuff. Apparently yesterday went out for dinner with Broberg already. Mm-hmm. They didn't even know, they don't know each other. So that's like a really good step on that side of things.
Swedes stick together.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Damn it.
That was easy. Never doubted my abilities on this game.
I'm 0 for 3. Are you kidding me?
I am 1 for 3.
Okay, number 4. The coach is putting on the captain's hat.
I said BM.
Yeah, I don't think this one's me, but I said me.
I said BM.
I have BM.
I think it's right. BM too. What was I thinking?
Do you prefer the 12th forward or the 7th defenseman? You yourself.
Coach Yaremchuk, you are putting on your captain's hat. And you are putting together a lineup
The coach has put on the captain's hat?
That's right.
Oh,
and you will put together
ridiculous. I'm 0 for 4. Oh my God, this is a disaster.
She's
enjoying this.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Number 5?
Number 5. We said paraphrase it.
I said Liam.
I said Dan.
I said myself.
I have Dan.
Alrighty, here's the...
I feel like I was on time. Yeah.
There's going to be a game where the coach just sits down on the bench with a towel over his head, just can't figure it out. Like, but Liam, I throw it in.
I'm good.
But Liam, we said to paraphrase.
Yes.
It was a Dan quote.
Wow. Oh, well, that's a big one. He's a big one.
I'm doomed.
All right, I'm 0 for 5.
All right, number 6, short Derek Ryan.
I guess Liam.
I said bagged milk.
I decided on these last two to put myself for both, thinking I might get one. So I said myself again.
I have Liam.
Alrighty, here's a quote.
Just allows you to maybe put Derek Ryan on the right wing, maybe a little bit more than a second.
Which one, long or short?
Short Derek Ryan.
Gotcha.
I mean, that was a long.
Well,
no, long or short. That is a
double whammy.
Nope.
What was the quote again?
You said it.
I heard a quote.
More than a second.
Which one, long or short?
Short Derek Ryan.
Gotcha.
And then you
short Derek Ryan.
No point of contention there.
I went 0 for 6.
I went 1 for 6. Thank you, Liam, for saving my numbers there.
2.
2.
2. 2. 2. 2.
Okay. All right. That was really hard. Thanks.
That was tough. That was a tough one. Can you clear this up for me, Kennedy?
No, thank you.
Okay.
There you go. Kennedy's quote game brought to you by Greta. We'll have Kennedy back again next week to play again. Let's wrap up the show with a game preview for Alberta Blue Cross. Protect your memories and more wherever your travel takes you with Alberta Blue Cross and their travel insurance. To find out more, head to ab.bluecross.ca/travel. Maybe you want to head on a Nation vacation brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross. Waz asked himself earlier today in a social video what he's most excited for about Phoenix and Arizona. And he said, touching a cactus.
Hugging the coffee.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
So that's where we're at with Waz.
He said he's never seen a cactus before.
He's a liar.
But like that doesn't even make... Anyways... Oh, Waz. That's the kind of fun stuff you get into when you come on a Nation vacation at nationgear.ca now to get in on the trip. Oilers taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. The atmosphere should be great inside Rogers Place, as there'll be a lot of Leafs fans in attendance, and that usually leads to the crowd being pretty into the entire game. But the Oilers are taking on a Leafs team that has not only lost 3 consecutive hockey games, they've blown leads in every single one. They were up 3-1 on the Islanders, 3-0 on the Avs after the first period, and up 2-1 on the Red Wings heading into the third. Blew them all, lost them all. The Leafs have 13 regulation wins in 41 games. They are straight up 21-20. They've just been scooping up loser points. It's a winnable matchup, Rick.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to their team, man. I've said this a lot of times. As long as the Oilers go out and do their thing, they should be okay. If they play the way they have in their own end the last 10 games, mm-hmm. I think you really lock down Toronto's offense. And if you can lock down their offense, their defense, it's not good.
No.
It's not good at all. So you start rolling in you start cycling in their end. We should get our offensive opportunities, no problem. You got to score them. Their goaltending, again, not good.
Yeah.
Outside of their top 6, it's a quick jump off a cliff.
Well, when this season started, I was excited to see the Toronto Maple Leafs and the kind of team that Tree Living had created in the offseason in a quick overturn of or overhaul of the roster. But I predicted it at the start of the year that Reeves was going to be nullified by the media pretty quickly. And that happened. And the rest of the team just doesn't seem to have any kind of excitement or character. I think I heard Jay Rosehill on Leafs Morning Take talking about how this team just has no character, has no oomph, no inspiration to it. And so for me, this game worries me as like a typical trap game where you've got the Leafs coming in floundering. The Leafs media is asking the Oilers about the Leafs struggles and that kind of thing. The Oilers know that the Leafs are struggling, and the Oilers have come into, a franchise long win streak. And we've mentioned it before. These last few wins haven't been great. So everything about this game screams trap to me. I'm not looking forward to that aspect of it, but I do hope that the Oilers can come out and really overcome that ability to just let teams like the Leafs, where they're struggling, take control of the Oilers. That was a long-winded answer, but I'm afraid of a trap here.
Last one I want to run through with everyone. Ryan McLeod expected to return, but back as the third line center. Evander Kane getting that spot on the second line. Liam, is that the right or wrong decision?
Probably, I don't know. He was okay against Montreal. I think you got to get him going a little bit, but I think McLeod did nothing wrong to lose his spot on that line. So
I don't think they're moving him because of something he's done. I think they're moving him because they'd like to see him at the third line center. You're trying to get King going. Mm-hmm. And I think as long as McLeod has that confidence in him, that his game will be there as it has been in the last 10 rather than say the first 15.
I don't know. I feel like that experiment should maybe happen against Columbus next week rather than a Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
Maybe that's when they want to get Holloway back in.
Maybe they do, but then who's going to play on that wing? Probably Evander Kane, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, we'll see if the Oilers can extend their franchise record winning streak to 11 games. They get the Leafs on Tuesday, the Kraken on Thursday, and then we'll be back to recap it all on Friday. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about Dylan Holloway on that Friday show as well, as we lead into a weekend that'll feature a BOA. So it's a busy, busy week for the Edmonton Oilers. Big shout out to Alberta Blue Cross, Greta, Booster Juice, DoorDash, and Wendy's, and Kennedy for swinging by with her quote game. Thanks for tuning in to a Monday or Tuesday edition of Oilers Nation Radio. We'll chat with you again on Friday.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.